Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, bonjour, good and hobbin. How you?
Sup?
I'm sorry, Kevin. Don't attempt to be cool. It's just not you.
I try.
No, it's just sometimes it's weak. You just don't give anybody the impression that you're really in tune with the hood.
I'm not sure if I'm in tune with anything.
Hood, but that's because it was cold up.
That's right.
Basketball. We've talked to college wrestling. Thanks to Dan Wernsberger, the head wrestling coach at Bucknell. Really enjoyed talking with him. I was bringing Thomas Bendit now from btpowerhouse.com to talk about the Big Ten. Thomas, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show again.
Yeah, happy to be back. How's everything going?
Well, after last night, I'll get back to you on that. Let's get to top players. I saw D'Angelo Russell last night for the first time in person. That is one smooth operator, and looks like he's going to be a lottery pick when he plays. The competition will be between Russell and Frank Kaminsky for Big Ten Player of the Year. What are some of the things that you're hearing and the analytics that you look at when you see those two players?
You know, I actually ended up doing an article on Russell's play earlier this week, and I kind of wanted to see where he compared to some of the best freshmen of recent years, and he's right up there with the best. He's up there with Solinger, he's up there with Odin, just a great player. Still Kaminsky's to lose at this point. I actually, you know, speaking of getting to see some of these guys, I got to see Kaminsky when he came in to play Michigan, and Michigan, he just found teammates and really made them pay for it. But I think those guys are definitely your top guys right now. Penn State's DJ Newbill, definitely up there, one of the best scorers in the Big Ten. I think Sam Decker and Nigel Hayes out of Wisconsin also playing great. Aaron White out of Iowa, really an all-around player that can do a lot for you. But I think those are some of the top guys, and next couple of weeks will definitely iron things out for sure.
When you look at the younger players in this league, Melo Trimble had a big team from the field, and of course we just talked about Russell. When you look at those guys, I think almost everyone expects Russell to go. What do you think of Trimble and Blackman? Do you think they stay or go?
You know, it's an interesting question. I know, I think Blackman is projected somewhere in the mid-second round right now. I know people in Maryland, they're hoping he comes back, obviously, but I think the general consensus is that Trimble will be back as well. I think there are little size concerns with those guys, versus a Russell who can step into a, you know, maybe an NBA one or two guard spot right away. But it will be interesting to see if those guys kind of test the waters as we go on. But as of now, I would expect both to be back right now.
When you look at the Big Ten, very good, not great this year. I mean, there have been years where the Big Ten has been great. The depth of teams, outstanding teams, and it's been one dogfight after another. This year, the Big Ten is very, very good. Not great, but very, very good. What do you think of that cluster of teams that right now sit between that 2 and 7 might sort out at the end?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's how it's shaking out right now.
Right.
It's the easy pick right now, but Ohio State and Maryland I think those are the best of that litter right there. I think it'll depend on how some of the younger guys step up for Ohio State outside of Russell. But after those guys, one team that I'm really interested to watch is Illinois. Because they are without Aaron Cosby and Revonte Rice right now, and those are key players for that team. If they do come back for some of these big games later on in the year, I think you could see them make a run at that four, but outside of there, Iowa's making a push. They beat Maryland last weekend, and then Tom Izzo and Michigan State always seem to get things together by the end of the year.
What do you think of the Adam Woodbury situation? I mean, this is three times it's happened, twice in one game, and then, of course, Melo Trimble, where you hit him in the face, or the eye area, actually. What do you, Dan Dockage, I think we all know he went overboard, but he's also said Aaron Kraft was the best player in college basketball last season.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation. I'm not sure I've seen too many like it. The first game, he was kind of accused of going after Kaminsky and Hayes with an eye poke or, you know, movement towards the face, and obviously the Trimble stuff last weekend. I'm not quite sold on the camp that, you know, it's some intentional campaign to take people out. I think what it is a guy trying to play physical, and sometimes he gets a little, I think it's more of that. I do think that the Big Ten definitely has to be watching him closely, and maybe discuss, you know, maybe suspending him for a game or not. It doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, but I think it's more of just a guy being a little bit too physical.
This has also been a year where some key guys have been hurt, suspended, whatever. Mark Loving, for example, has been suspended. Caris LeVert, hurt, out for the year. Trey Jackson, hurt, out significant time. And, of course, Revonte Rice and Cosby now are both suspended. I mean, they both, I think, were ready to come back. They're both suspended right now. So what kind of effect has that had in the league because of the suspensions I just talked about?
I definitely, obviously it depends on the team, but I think it has a huge effect this year, especially with Illinois. The way, if you buy into the ESPN projections or so on for the tournament right now, they're teetering on that bubble right now. And if they had those two guys back, I think people would feel pretty confident about projecting them as an NCAA tournament team. So, you know, if they, for instance, lose tonight against Michigan, they could potentially cost themselves an NCAA bid. Well, I shouldn't say they. Cosby and Rice's actions could potentially cost them that bid. But, you know, and obviously for a team like Michigan with the injuries, Caris LeVert is really starting to pack in on them. They lost three in a row. And I think it really takes an edge out, especially in a Big Ten where the middle is really wide open right now.
All right. When you look at NCAA teams, and obviously you're not going to sit there and you have Joe Lenardi's bracket in front of you, but how many could the Big Ten get, in your opinion, and which teams are in that gray area at the moment?
Well, I think the general view right now is 5 to 8 is the conservative. Wisconsin, Maryland, Ohio State all look like pretty much locks at this point. Iowa looks like a very strong contender. And then you kind of get in the gray range with Michigan State, Illinois, and Purdue. I know there are a few still kind of holding out hope for Michigan, but I think they have too much to battle with now. But I think your big three teams to watch right now are Michigan State, Illinois, and Purdue. They all have wins. They all have some losses that they wish they didn't have. Outside of those three, I don't really see anyone else getting in, barring them winning the Big Ten. Illinois will make it in, and I do think they'll end up with 7 teams total.
Let's talk about the Michigan State situation, because it just, you know, you lose Adrian Payne and so forth. What is your evaluation of what Michigan State is this year? Because this is one of the few transition years I think Tom Izzo has had.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're talking about losing guys like Keith Appling, Gary Harris, Adrian Payne, all in one year, that's going to hit any team really hard. And Michigan State, they didn't exactly have a standout recruiting class coming in this year, especially considering that Javon Best, who was considered by most to be their best incoming recruit, is pretty much missed the whole year with injury.
Right.
I kind of see them as that 10 seed type of team. They come in, you know, maybe they can win a game or two, but really they're just missing out on those big time contributors. They have Valentine, who's been great, Dawson, who's been solid, but outside of those two guys, And the big thing that's, oddly enough, has really hurt them this year is free throw shooting.
Right.
Just one of the worst teams at that. It almost cost them a game against Michigan, probably cost them a game against Illinois last weekend. So I'm not sure what their plan is to try to get around that, but that's been a big problem this year.
Last night's game, obviously, is something for Penn State fans, something to forget. It was a night of frustration. That's, except for the opener with Wisconsin, every other game has been decided by 6 points or less. I mean, all the other games are 6 points or less, except for the win over Rutgers. They blew them out. They ran out Nebraska by 13. All right, so Les, your thoughts on Penn State and where it is right now, and also, you know, especially with the recruiting class they've got coming in next year and even the year after.
You know, Penn State's an interesting situation. I think they are one of those teams, you know, as you mentioned, where they kind of look bad on paper, but probably aren't as bad as they look. I do think when all's said and done this season, I think they might be able to move out of that kind of in between the middle to bottom tier of the Big Ten, which, you know, for some people isn't good enough. For other people, it's progress. As far as moving forward, they do have a nice class coming in next year. I know they're right away, but there's going to be questions, obviously, about Chambers. We're talking about we're a few years in now, so it's not, getting in his guys anymore, but I think they have a base, and I think next year is the year to really tell whether, you know, that those recruits can come in and make an impact and see where this program's headed.
What do you think about Newbill?
Really talented guard. I'm interested to see where he could potentially end up in the NBA chatter. I know Frazier's, it looks like he's doing some work for the 76ers lately, which is nice to see. But really great scorer. I think he's an all-Big Ten player right now.
Yeah. Thomas, thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Happy to be on.
Thomas Bendit, btpowerhouse.com. Kevin Herb breaks down the interview in its entirety in a moment, as only he can, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Everyone's been anxious to hear Kevin's analysis of the interview.
I enjoyed it. How was that?
When you have coffee, right, to start the day, and then you probably have a second cup around noon.
No, I just have a big iced coffee that, you know, for the morning.
I'm just asking this on behalf of the audience. Do you get the Irish blend?
Sometimes it's an Irish coffee. It's Irish cream. Yeah, is that what you mean?
No, I think most of the audience gets what I mean.
You know, one thing a lot of people were asking today, and I heard a lot of it in the building, is why 2015? Why not? Why? First off, what took the Big Ten so long to decide whether they were going to give Penn State their share of the bowl money, and why wait until 2015?
Okay. First of all, why it took so long. The consent decree was not wiped out until the beginning of January. And when the consent decree got wiped out, that's what opened the door to, excuse me, there are no sanctions here, so why do we have sanctions on us from the conference? The part that I am not comfortable with in this, but, you know, look, it appears to be at this moment, it's take what you can get, okay? And that is, I can understand if there was a game plan in place where they said, hey, look, we've already allocated the money to, because each school in the conference got money, and they all were to designate it to a charity. So Ohio State got money, Minnesota got money, Michigan, Purdue, and they all allocated it to charities in Minneapolis, Ann Arbor, Columbus, Lafayette. All right. So I can understand if they were they thought, okay, here's a guaranteed check coming up, and we've given it to charity. All right, I got that. All right, I'm completely on board with that part of it. But there is a difference now, and the difference is that when this came out, and it was supposed to be essentially a $13 million penalty, it's about what it was supposed to be. And Penn State, by the way, donated its first year check on its own. So that would have brought it to about $16.5 million. There was a huge change in the middle of this. And the huge change in the middle of this was the formation of the college football playoff, which brought with it exponentially more money that was in the original bowl allocation. Thus, it was my thought that in fairness, that the difference between what people thought the original number for 2014 might be back when they were doing estimates in 2012, that the difference between that number and the new number, which is exponentially higher for each program in the conference, that Penn State, at minimum, I thought, deserved the difference in 2014 because they participated in a bowl game, and plus by having the bowl sanction drop, they could have participated in the Big Ten championship game. I thought, to me, that was the common sense solution, which I talked about that week. Well, it turned out that that's not the solution they came up with. The solution they came up with was that the consent decree was abolished, eliminated, whatever, in the first week of January. Thus, from that day moving forward, normalcy would return based on conference participation with Penn State on the bowl level. So I think that's what the solution ended up being. That from this date forward, that's what it is. And it should have been amended then, because Penn State did its part and kicked into the monetary bowl pool. That's why I thought maybe as a compromise, the difference between the original number and what is now a new number because of the college football playoff. Everybody gets more money because of the college football playoff. But here's the other part. Now moving forward in 2015, since the college football playoff does exist, they're going to get more bowl money than they would have expected anyway in 2015 compared to what the original projection was in 12 anyway. In fact, I think they're going to double it. So It'll work out. I'm not. You know what? You can argue about this, go round and round and round.
Maybe the important way to look at it, Steve, is the wrong was made right. At least as far as the NCAA and Penn State are concerned. How's that?
Well, what's interesting is that Jake Corman had his press conference yesterday, and of course the NCAA fired back and started talking about children and victims again. And if I'm in a press conference, I would look at Donald Remy of the NCAA and ask him, how much money did the NCAA donate to child abuse causes last year? Because obviously you've expressed a lot of concern about this. And unfortunately, I think I know what the answer is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody today? Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's got one more day in this vehicle.
One more day in the 2015 Ford Focus SE, the newly redesigned Ford Focus for 2015. SE, cold weather package as well that includes the heated mirrors, all-weather floor mats, and the heated seats as well. And don't forget that it is available as well in a six-speed 1.0 EcoBoost engine that has start-stop technology. And it means when you come to a red light or a stop or, you know, a stop sign, you stop the car, it actually literally stops the car, not only from moving but from running. And then when you lift up the lift on the brake, it actually pops right back on and you're on your way. One of the great fuel-saving features that actually with that 1.0 EcoBoost in the start-stop, you could be looking at up at upwards of 40 miles to the gallon on highway. Lots of great standard features as well, including the standard rear view camera, standard sync with my Ford, and my key. And we haven't talked about that. And real quick, I want to talk about that because Corey was telling me you can take the key, give it to your teenage driver. You can program that key that the vehicle only goes so fast, and that's as fast as it goes, that you can program it that it won't go anywhere until a seatbelt's locked. Just a couple of cool features and safety features if you have a teen driver or you will have a teen driver in your house you may want to look at with the 2015 Ford Focus. Talk to Corey and the folks at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, about that very added feature.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We were talking about the bowl money, and Penn State will get its full bowl share beginning this upcoming season. So for the athletic department, a huge step toward normalcy. And then, of course, the next big step for Penn State in the step to financial normalcy is going to be the television contract, which they never lost at all. This television contract that they've had, which went from 25.7, I think it was 28 this past year. It goes to 30 and 15. It's up to 34 and 16. And has a chance to get between 45 and 50 million per school in 17. That's going to be, in combination with the bowl money, which I think I believe almost doubles in all of this. It's at least a 50% increase compared to where it was. That's going to be huge steps forward as to what they're going to do. And there are things that they're going to have to do. There are certain things they're going to have to do in the stadium. They have to do a better job of branding throughout the stadium, for one thing. We all know that the press box eventually is going to have to be done in some way, shape, or form. Not because of the media, but you need to do something that is that matches the other side, that makes it look really good, makes it look first class. And at the same time, maybe even put some luxury suites on that side, which become valuable luxury suites because those suites are ones that would have the sun behind you as opposed to it on certain days coming into your box. And that's what would, you know, give them the value there. You're also going to have to do something, I think, down the road, in my opinion, and looking at what other schools have done. Other schools have, you look at what Pagula has. Pagula has everything. I worked a Big Ten Network game 2 weeks ago, and I was the third on it. And one of the guys that was on this on the broadcast played for the Blackhawks 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup, and he took a tour of Pagula. You know what he said? There's only one NHL facility that has what they have, the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's it. I'm talking about this is the part that you guys never see. I'm talking about the weight room. I'm talking about the training facilities that they have. Well, football and basketball needs to be done. I know that. But you got to put the money first into what is going to then bring in more revenue to then allow you to get a pool, a better pool, and an indoor tennis facility. And that's why you have to make sure in Beaver Stadium that it's well-branded and taken care of and maintained inside. The maintenance is about $2 million a year on Beaver Stadium. You need to do things like branding the concession stands and things like that all throughout that stadium. And you've really got to think through what you're doing on the branding part of it. The press box part of it, where it's a combination of press box, luxury, club seat, whatever it happens to be in the end. But yeah, you're going to have to do something with that. Basketball-wise, they need a new practice gym. Now, they did get money for basketball for a new film room. Huge. Right donation. And it's going to be taken care of. Peter and Ann Tombros did that. But you also need a new practice gym where the Lady Lions and the men each have their own gym to work out of. And I think, you know, that's going to be important with their own training facility in there. Football's making that step with what they're doing in Lash. They're going to redo the locker room. They're going to redo the equipment room. They're going to redo the training room. They have to, guys. They have to. And they're also going to have to, at some point, take a long look as to what you do with Haluba Hall. Haluba Hall is, no question, functional the way it is, but at the same time, you've got to get out and see what they've done at more than a dozen other places across the country that have impressive indoor facilities. And Penn State's going to have to either take the existing structure or else, and that's something else that has to be on the drawing board too. There are a lot of things that Penn State needs to do, and the money from the new television contract, the money from the bowl that was just talked, we just talked about now, that's all going to be pivotal in moving forward so that Penn State stays on par with what everybody else is doing, not only in their own conference, but they're trying to compete nationally. And the branding in the Jordan Center, the branding in Beaver Stadium, practice facility for basketball, training room facility and weight room for basketball to go with the brand new film room that they're already going to get. All right? Football, getting everything changed over in Lash Building with the new training area, the new locker room, the new equipment room, things like that. These are all things they need, and they have to take a long look as to what they do with Haluba. I'm just telling you what I see everywhere else and what they need moving forward so that they give the athletes the best that they can. Now, Penn State, the money for the food for everyone, the 24/7 food, which went into effect August 1st, well, that takes another $1 million in your budget right there to do that. That's the right thing to do. There's no question, especially though I'm thrilled the walk-ons were included. That, to me, food is fuel. That's part of your training. But that's $1 million. And Penn State, the cost of attendance, which was just put through, Penn State's going to be number two in the Big Ten in money allocated per student athlete. It's going to be about $4,000 per student athlete on full scholarship. Partials will be divvied up by the coaches. But it's $4,000 per. That's going to run Penn State about $1.5 million to $1.7 million. Right around there. You know, you hear these things and they're outstanding ideals, but there is a huge difference between ideology and reality. Ideology is saying, we need to do this. Great. Reality is, how do we pay for it? It's not fictional. Things like that happen. You got to do it. And that's what I tell everybody all the time. I said, how many in this room believe that women should have an equal opportunity in sports? And of course, naturally, every person in the room raises their hand. I said, yeah, I put my hand up too. Women should have equal opportunity in sports. Okay? I said, that's called ideology. Okay? Now let's go to real life. How do you pay for it? And I think part of how you pay for it, personal opinion only, part of how you pay for it is that you make sure that your two revenue-producing sports, and hockey's men's hockey is right there. I think they can turn a little bit of a profit, which is good, as a third. So it means that at minimum, men's hockey is self-sustaining. And then football and men's basketball are the only two that make money. And I know people, they hear me say that, that can't be. Trust me, football and men's basketball are the only two that make money. Hockey might make a little bit of a profit, but that's it. That's your cut line right there. And men's basketball is about in that $5 to $6 million profit range right now, and football's up in that $25 to $30 million profit range right now. Well, all that money goes to everybody else. And if you want to make sure that everybody else is well taken care of moving forward, so the wrestling room is always up to date, so that you get a, you know, you get a new pool over at McCoy, so that you end up, you know, because it'd be the Bucknell pool is outstanding. I mean, as the, you can change the distance with a push of a button. Incredible. But McCoy is up to date, and indoor tennis facilities there and so forth. Because when Pagula was going to be built, part of it was they were going to put a new indoor tennis facility, and Penn State backed off on that demand. And the money just went into Pagula, $102 million. And again, that rink, I mean, you see the outer rink, you should see the area, you should see the area that the fans don't get a chance to see. Unbelievable. The weight room facility, the cold tub, the hot tub, the training facility, everything goes with it. Stunning how good it is. Well, men's basketball, and of course the women would benefit as well, because obviously this would be part of it, and football need that as well. And that's when I talk about Haluba. You're talking about bringing recruits in. You've got to, if you can get to be really great every year with James Franklin in football, which I think they can be, if you can get it so you're really fighting in the thick of things in the Big Ten in men's basketball. And I know last night, it's not a great time to talk about that after last night's game, but you know, in watching, Pat's brought it forward. Now you got to somehow get this thing over the hump. I mean, that's where they are now. It's that toughest part, that most frustrating part where you're trying to get over the hump there at the end and get yourself into that consistent winner's circle. And that's where he is right now, despite last night. Last night was a lost cause. But then there's an ability to turn more of a profit there, which then trickles down to help everybody else. And that's very important in this. So getting the bowl money back, I know, you know, it would have been great, in my opinion, to see some sort of compromise on the additional money in 14, because Penn State did kick into the pool. But at minimum, they got the bowl clock going again starting this year. And there's more money in 15 available for Penn State to get than what the original projection was back in 2012. In fact, a minimum of 50 to 75% more, which is huge, and the TV contract going up every year. And that by 17, I think you'll see some really interesting, tangible things being done because of the combination of additional bowl money, which they're now going to get, and the TV money. You invest in the two sports that bring it home for you financially, the trickle down will help the other sports as well. And I know it's hard for people to believe that those are the only two sports making money, and hockey really is on the borderline of being that third. But that is it. If you want, I can tell some Brian Williams stories, but that would then, you know, I wanted to state facts for you as to where things are. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg, would like to welcome Chris Little to our service team. Chris Little comes to us with 8 years' experience in service, and we certainly look forward to having him with us for a long time. Plus, in service, if you're looking for a great deal, we've got our $9.95 oil change still going on. We're going to get up to 5 quarts of oil and a filter for just $9.95. Or if you need tires for your vehicle, we still have the buy three, get one free. Buy three tires, any make, any size, and get the fourth one for free. Plus, with a state-of-the-art service facility, 14 technicians with over 240 years of experience, we're going to fix your vehicle right the first time at the lowest price guaranteed. And if sales is what you're after, don't forget we've got our $2,500 tax refund match where we're going to match your tax refund or cash up to $2,500 on any newer pre-owned vehicle. Plus, we're giving away a free car. Register at blazealexanderford.com between now and February 28th. It's worth the drive to Route 45 for the lowest price guaranteed.
Our lives move fast. When was the last time you took time for yourself and your loved one? This Valentine's Day, Foss Jewelers is here to help. We're going to treat one lucky couple to a night out on the town, which includes dinner, movie tickets, a dozen roses, and complete with a $250 gift certificate. Sorry, you're on your own for a babysitter, though. Dinner? Visit us on Route 522 in Seals Grove or go online. Like us on Facebook and sign up to win. No purchase is necessary. While we're in the subject, Foss Jewelers has all your Valentine's Day wearable treats she loves. Best of all, they won't melt. Think sparkly chocolate and candy. Now is the time to pause, look at her in the eye, and say, what are you waiting for? We have to get to Foss Jewelers. That's right. Life's memories start here. We're located on Route 522 in Seals Grove, online at FossJewelers.com, and on Facebook.
Life's memories start here.
Everyone wants to stay cool in the summer and warm in the winter, but it can cost a small fortune. This is Tanya Diddy with Lenape Solar. Let us reduce your cooling and heating bills by as much as 75% with the installation of a Mitsubishi heating and cooling system. Not only can you save 75%, but you can improve the air quality in your home or business at the same time. Installation can be a lot less than what you might expect, and now is a great time to start saving. See Lenape Solar in Sunbury for complete details. Call today for a no-cost estimate, 570-286-1496.
Friday nights, it's comedy night at Front Street Station in Northumberland. This Friday Night Comics, Bill Borenke and Daryl Rhodes will be sure to have you hunched over in laughter. Doors open at 8, show starts at 9. $10 gets you in the door. Remember, if you have dinner at Front Street Station the night of the show, you'll get half off the cover charge. It's a win-win with comedy night, Friday nights at Front Street Station in Northumberland.
Bitter cold, nuisance snowfall here and there. If your current vehicle hasn't been getting you where you need to be, it's time to see Bill Marks. Right now, they have the largest truck inventory ever available, and Bill and Will are clearing them out at the best prices around. That includes their in-stock specialty lifted conversion trucks. Be sure to check them out, too. Bring in your best deal in writing, and they will match it. Bill Marks Auto Sales, Route 15, just north of Lewisburg, or online at BillMarksAutoSales.net.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Yeah, part of it, too, you have to remember is that football and men's basketball have the television contracts. Football and men's basketball also have a rather extensive seven-figure-per-year radio contract. And on top of it, there's also revenue sharing. They kick into that sliding scale. I mean, football, it's based on attendance, but $650,000 per game to $1 million per game. And of course, Penn State's almost always at the million per game that they kick in and then divide it by, well, right now it's still 12, I think. I don't think Rutgers and Maryland get into that until for a couple more years. And then men's basketball is a $27,000 to $65,000 number. And Penn State's, you know, that sliding scale's had a couple of 27s this year, but the last time out with Nebraska, it was a $65,000 kick-in at the upper end of the scale. And so, and then, of course, then there's revenue sharing. It's kicked back there as well. So there's just a lot of factors in football and men's basketball that are different than any other sport. TV money, radio money, revenue sharing, things like that. Money from the tournament, for example. your bowl money, Big Ten tournament money, NCAA tournament money. And for those who say, well, Penn State, they don't participate in the NCAA tournament. No, Penn State went in 2011. They actually, it goes in increments, and it's 6 years' worth of increments. Now, the goal is to get back there on an every-year basis for the good of your program, which will kick up attendance in the Jordan Center. Huge. But, so when we're talking about analytics, I'm talking about the analytics of cash here. I think it's amazing as an athletic department they've been able to survive the way they did by having some financial blows dealt to them. But they didn't lose all of it. They still had the TV money during the sanctions. They still had the revenue-sharing money during the sanctions. They never lost their Big Ten tournament or their allotment of NCAA tournament money. They didn't lose that either. So those are some areas where they did keep it that a lot of people don't realize. And I know people want to blame... The one I always love is they want to blame Jim... It's Jim Delaney's fault. Jim Delaney works for the presidents of the universities, so he's got to follow through on what they tell him to do. He's not... You know, the 14 presidents don't work for him. It's the other way around. And I think sometimes that's forgotten in all of this. You know, and I'm not here to defend what Jim Delaney does or doesn't do, but, you know, you've got to be able to have some common sense. I mean, do you think he independently sits there and goes, off with their heads? Or do you think there's somebody, a group above him, that says, look, this is what we decided to do. You're going to have to implement it. Now, he's the commissioner, thus becomes a scapegoat for a lot of people. I don't think that's fair at all. I think there have been too many scapegoats for one situation, don't you think? I think on that note, we'll leave it right there.